You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Right now I feel like I take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Echo Base. I am sitting here in the basement freezing because I have a concrete floor and thin socks on and had to turn my space heater off, so it did not make a guest appearance on the podcast. We have turned the corner. Daylight savings time has come and gone over the past weekend, and next week we have a Rogue One novel, and in just a few weeks we have a Rogue One film.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty awesome. But there's a part of Star Wars fandom we might not have as part of that film. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Lou and Chris, how you guys doing tonight?
Great.
I'm doing well.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So before we get into this episode, a little bit of housekeeping to do. If you've listened to our other shows, you know that we have made an announcement that we have redone the Patreon perks. So real quick, probably the most prominent change is the fact that all of the people who donate to the network through Patreon will have access to our Slack community. So if you've been on the fence about it, I guarantee you it's worth a dollar a month, and that's all it would take to get you access to it. And I highly recommend you do that before the release of Rogue One. Just saying. I mean, there's already a lot of conversation going on in there. Better to get in now and be a part of it as it's going into that season rather than catching up afterwards. That's my opinion anyway. But so if you head over to patreon.com/randomchatter, you can find out more information there. But once again, all of the donors now have access to the Slack community, and there are various other perks that we've added there too. So if you're already a donor and haven't checked it out, go check out the list and see what kind of new goodies you're entitled to. So that's it for the network housekeeping, I think. We have a bit of a question, though. It's a little more of a discussion, so I'm going to bury the lead here. And before we get to the Rogue One discussion, a piece of good news. I was a little worried at first when I saw this, and I'm like, I don't know. But it looks like it's good news after all. Her Universe, you guys are familiar with this, right? Ashley Eckstein's company.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It has been acquired by Hot Topic. So, of course, the first thing you worry about, and we're all guys here, we're not in the target demographic of Her Universe, but we all support it. We think it's an awesome thing. We wish it had come around a lot sooner. We need, as a fan community, to demonstrate to everybody that the fan community is a community that's diverse, and that includes the fact that there are a lot of female fans out there who often have borne the brunt of all kinds of different levels and forms of discrimination at conventions, online, etc. And not only does this give that demographic a lot of really cool stuff and a lot of really cool merchandise in which they can celebrate their fandom, But it's also made a statement and represented that, I don't want to say that silent part of the community, because it's never really been silent, but it's been ignored by those who aren't listening. And that's changing. And that's been really cool to see that change over the last few years since Her Universe has been around. So when I saw that this was acquired by Hot Topic, I'm like, oh, geez, how is this going to go? But it looks like it's going to go well. It's going to continue as a standalone brand. And Ashley is still going to be running things.
Nice.
Yep. That's important. Actually, she wrote, there was a press release and everything. She wrote a letter here. I'm just going to read it here real quick because, you know, plagiarism. Well, I guess it's not plagiarism. I gave proper attribution. Dear Her Universe community, it's with great joy that I share with you some very exciting news. I wanted all of you to be the first to know that Her Universe is officially joining the Hot Topic family of brands. But what does this mean? Well, Hot Topic is acquiring Her Universe, but I'll be continuing my role as founder of Her Universe and overseeing the company, just as I have been since its inception. I imagine your next question probably is, will Her Universe only be a brand at Hot Topic now? The answer is emphatically no. Her Universe will continue to be a standalone brand that is available at multiple retailers and on HerUniverse.com, just like we always have been. We will also be continuing with the Her Universe fashion show and Her Universe press. Honestly, the Her Universe brand that we've all grown and built together will continue as you've known it, but exciting growth and amazing opportunities lie ahead. Her Universe started 6 years ago, against the odds, as a t-shirt brand for fangirls. We all knew that fangirls were being ignored and underserved, but we had to debunk the stereotype that this genre was not just for men and boys. I said from day one, united we stand, divided we fall. If we want change, we need to demand it together, and I cannot build this company alone. Your support from day one has been incredible and has meant so much to me. We were able to grow our t-shirt brand into a fashion, entertainment, and publishing lifestyle brand in just a few years. However, as we continued to grow, I heard your cries for more, and I was often left frustrated that we could not live up to your expectations. I'm beyond excited to share that this new chapter with Hot Topic will allow us to rise to those expectations. What can you expect? Here's just a sampling. We'll finally be able to offer more plus sizes. We're going to offer our designs in Europe. We'll be designing some fashion for men. We'll be relaunching a new and improved Her Universe press. We're going to add more licenses, more activewear, and more fashion categories. I'm personally going to focus on continuing to build our amazing community and offering more content and ways for fans to connect. Honestly, I cannot contain my excitement over what's ahead. Blah, 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 blah. Website will be down for a few days as we make the transition, sharing this moment and excitement with us, etc. I don't mean to diminish any of the rest of she said, but as far as newsworthiness, those are the main things there. So this sounds like great news. I know that more plus sizes is something that is, as someone who was a plus size person myself up until fairly recently, I know that it really sucks when you go somewhere and I remember going to Universal Studios and being upset, not recently, but a few years back. And it was upsetting enough to know that I couldn't fit on some of the rides. But then you go shopping for souvenirs and stuff. Oh, wow, there's an awesome Deadpool shirt there. Oh, shoot, it only goes up to extra large. It kind of takes the fun out of, you know. So that's exciting. Expansion in Europe's going to be a big deal. And now we guys are also going to get to get stuff through Her Universe, which is cool because I think the creativity behind a lot of the designs is awesome. Something you don't get at a lot of other places.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing that's one thing I really like about this, obviously being a guy, but it's funny that, you know, you see some of the t-shirt designs, or not even just t-shirts, but just clothing in general. You see the designs and they're so cool, but it comes in women's sizes. I'm like, I can't fit in that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Obviously we're not the target demographic here, but it is nice because even you can even kind of turn it around the other way and say that, like, let's say that I was a guy and I buy a shirt from her universe. I'm like, oh, this is cool. Never heard of this before. And let's say that I have a girlfriend and I could buy them like the women's mm-hmm. sizes stuff. And it just, I don't know. It can work together.
And you it's can wear matching men. Shirts and you'd be so cute.
There you go. Just got to get a girlfriend first.
Yeah. Step one.
Step one, yes.
Step one, get a girlfriend. Phase two. Phase three, profit. Wait, I don't think that's how that joke's supposed to go.
No.
Okay.
No.
But this is really cool. Yeah. I mean, I really hope that behind the scenes, this is going as well, truthfully, as the way it appears to be going on the surface. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, Ashley's really worked her butt off for this. And so I wish her the best of success. But also, again, this has not only been a really successful merchandising line, but this has been an outlet through which people who are underrepresented in the fan community can speak up and be noticed. Mm-hmm. And so the social aspect of it, sociological mm-hmm. aspect has been really important too. And I would really hate to see that end up being muted somehow or diminished as a result of a bad business decision. So it looks like that's not the case. So, excuse me. So congratulations to Ashley and to her universe and to Hot Topic. I mean, they've got to be pretty excited about that, too. They picked up a really mm-hmm. cool brand. Uh-oh. Hey, Mrs. Blythe is making an appearance, her first appearance on Echo Base. Welcome. Do you want me to remove the Taco Bell from your hand that you're holding for me? You look like you're freezing.
It is Echo Base.
Well, I hate stupid people too, honey. But
we're on Hoth.
You know, there are laws in this country, at least at the moment. I don't know, the elections are coming next week, but well, thank you for Taco Bell. Is there anything you would like to say on the show? We were just talking about her universe being bought up by Hot Topic.
Not sure how I feel about that.
Okay. Because you don't like her universe stuff, or because you don't like Hot Topic, or because you got to give the short answer, because then I've got to repeat everything you say because you're not on the mic. Or I can move the mic over to you.
Kind of like finding out your cool parent is marrying your cool teacher.
It's kind of like figuring out your cool parent is marrying your cool teacher.
Either will work really well.
Okay, so thank you, Mrs. Blythe, for appearing on the podcast.
Before we get into our discussion / last news item here, I just had two really quick things. We talked about the fact that I got the Hallmark Star Trek or Star Wars Death Star tree topper.
Yes, that is awesome.
Recently, and it
doesn't. Oh, you didn't hear about this, Eric?
Yeah. Eric wasn't there. And of course, Chris brought up the point that I don't have a fully operational battle station. But
I did hear you got it. Was there a complication?
Well, yeah, I got it plugged in, and half of the top of the Death Star doesn't light up as evenly as I think it should.
Oh no.
That's kind of bummer. So, but when you let
Jyn Erso, he's fine. I blame you.
What's that?
Jyn Erso.
Oh yeah, maybe
she sabotaged the.
He didn't make it. So anyways, I got online with Hallmark customer service, and
oh no,
the woman I spoke to was, or woman I was typing
what
to.
Said, what's a Death Star? You know,
there's some issues with some of them.
Oh,
they start working, and she bring it back to the place she bought it and exchange it for a new one. Well, that'd be great if anybody had them still.
So, I hate that when that happens.
This was bought for me. It's sold out. They didn't have any more. A couple of the places I've been to don't have any more. They're sold out on Hallmark.com. They don't have any in the Hallmark stores, they said. So I got on the phone with them today, and I'm like, so, you know, what can we do here? She said, well, we're sold out. I'm like, okay.
Is not my problem.
You know, I'm like, it works, you know, 95%. But it's just not what it's supposed to be. I mean, do you guys have any contingency plans for this? And they know they have an issue with this. So I'm like, why isn't there something going on? And so I don't know how prevalent this problem is, but if anybody else has one, I'd like to, you know, hear from you guys. Let me know what you guys are thinking. If anybody has one, doesn't quite light up the way it's supposed to. I am not going to return mine for fear of never getting another one ever. But you know, it's just frustrating when it's, you know, $100 ornament that doesn't quite work the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. It's not like it's a $20 ornament or something. $100.
Right.
you should expect that it's going to work, and that if you do return it, you shouldn't have to wonder if and when you're going to get a replacement. They should have some kind of an ETA.
Yeah, when I called them today, I said, hey, you know, my local store that you guys suggested I bring it back to doesn't have any more. They're not expecting to get any more, so can I return this through you? And she's like, well, we're sold out.
Doesn't like, well, okay. Solve the problem, though.
Do you not have any extra for, you know, repairs or problems? Or, you know, it just doesn't make sense that they don't have any way to recover from this. But I don't know. I've always been really happy with their products in the past. I've never had a problem with them. I've never had anything break down. And I sort of said, well, what's the warranty? And she goes, I don't think we have any warranty.
Well, are they manufactured by Hallmark, or are they manufactured by someone else and carried by Hallmark? Because if, that, if it's the latter.
Hallmark, I mean, this is a Hallmark, boxed ornament. It's not like it's just sold at Hallmark stores. It is a Hallmark, you know, keepsake, as they call them, is their ornament line.
Well, then there should be some sort of a warranty on it.
Yeah, I put a bunch of tweets out today. We'll see what happens.
Well, that's Hallmark really disappointing.
Supposedly manages their online presence, but they haven't responded to me.
They're probably I frantically trying to figure out what do we do.
I know. I did hashtag it, not fully operational.
Oh, that's awesome.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. And on a high note, though, when I saw Doctor Strange this weekend, I got to see the trailer for Rogue One in 3D.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it looks awesome. Nice. Oh, it looks amazing.
Okay, quick tangent. And we'll talk more about this on Random Chatter. What were your thoughts in a nutshell on Doctor Strange? In one word or less, what did you think?
Well, I've got the perfect word for this. One word or less, trippy.
Ah.
So strange, in other words.
Strange.
I didn't want to use the title, but you know, yes, strange, but trippy.
Okay. Recommendable.
Yes.
Okay. That's the important thing.
I enjoyed the movie very much so.
All right. So speaking of Rogue One and the theaters, I hate giving this warning. I really hate giving this warning. This is not a spoiler because it has nothing to do with what's going on in the film.
If you don't know what's going on in the film, where are you?
Well, there's that too. Okay. So I could talk to you about the film and things that are actually spoilery, and it would be more spoilerish than this, even though people wouldn't consider that spoilers because it's already been released through advertising. So, and this is a rumor, but if you're super, super hypersensitive about spoilers, you might want to go somewhere else. But I think that this is an important one to listen to because I think this is going to set your expectation as a fan going into the film that has nothing to do with the story of what's going on in the film itself. Okay. And this is something that happens right at the beginning of the film. So I think it's important that you listen to this. So please stick around, but just wanted to throw that warning out there because we do try to be respectful of the people who are hypersensitive to spoilers. Even when we disagree, we understand we disagree. You have a right to your opinion and we're going to respect that. Regarding the opening crawl or the potential lack thereof, StarWarsNews.net has a source that they are citing as being reliable that claims there will not be an opening crawl. Now, I have no intention of getting into the validity of this source or the veracity of the statement. This has been reported a few different places. I'm not trying to get into the, I mean, listen, in a few months, we're going to see whether there's an opening crawl or not. So wasting a half hour talking about where this came from and stuff is kind of moot.
A few weeks. I'm going to find out in about
Did I say weeks. Months or weeks? I meant weeks.
You may find out in a few months.
You know, well, you know, I'm a little slow getting to the theater sometime. I am looking forward to that Deadpool movie, though. Yeah, I'm a little slow getting out, but that's okay. The Rogue One crawl. Does it... Okay, obviously the expectation is because that's how we've always done it. It's Star Wars. That's how we've always done it. There's supposed to be an opening crawl. Except the novels, some of them have an opening crawl like a three-paragraph intro, and some don't. The Clone Wars didn't have opening crawls. they had the quote, and then they went into a World War II style propaganda reel,
mm-hmm.
which was very well received. I liked that. I thought that was cool. Good.
Rebels doesn't have one.
Rebels doesn't have one.
No.
It doesn't even have like a newsreel type thing. It just those also right aren't
movies.
The
right.
They're not movies.
That's true. That's true. And that's the argument. Those aren't films. But do we need this? Is the fact that this is how we've always done it a good enough reason to include an opening crawl?
I can see the reason for having it.
Okay.
Simply for what you just said. We've always had it. It's a good way to kind of set up the story and get character names out there and settings right off the bat. However, this would also be a perfect time to kind of branch away from that.
Right.
And do things in a different way that you, because I mean, doing the opening crawl and then having space and you move the shot down to like a planet or a ship or whatever, is restricting. And, you know, there are, you know, obviously millions and billions of other ways you could probably structure the opening of a film aside from just panning down and seeing a planet or a ship or something. I like what they did at Celebration with the Celebration Europe. They had the Star Wars logo pop up, and then it was Episode 4, A New Hope, and then when it got to like the part about the Rebels winning a battle, like the screen kind of went glitchy, and then the text went from being at an angle to like straight in your face, and then it highlighted that one particular part, and then like they introduced the cast and stuff. So,
Yeah.
But that's just me being like clever and thinking nerdy things like that are cool. So,
see, I would be okay with them using the sizzle reel from Celebration Anaheim as the lead in to the title, and then wiping away to the actual movie.
Oh yeah, oh that'd be good.
See, because you're right that having the crawl is a good way to catch people up on what's been going on. And of course, a lot of people are going to say, well, what is it you need to know about what's going on? There's a Death Star and they're building it and it's Star Wars. And you've been paying attention to this for over 30 years now.
Because there are some people who don't, this might be the first Star Wars movie they see.
Well, there's that. Plus there's the fact that
idea who the Rebels are or what the Death Star is or what.
Well, and you don't know who Jyn Erso is. You don't know anything about her father. You don't know anything about any of the players in this. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a prelude novel leading up to the film, too. So, I mean, there's a novel's worth of information going into the film. However, if you make that argument that this is a good way to introduce people into a film, then you should also make the argument then that most films should have this. Right?
The one thing that, well,
and they don't. Most films do not have an opening crawl.
Yeah, but that's
right.
That's
I mean,
where you have to do good introductions of characters and get the names out there and get people familiar with, okay, who's talking, like when they mention a character's name, who are they talking to? If it's not, you know, blatantly obvious. And I think there are a lot of movies that struggle with that.
And well, Star and let's, Wars, to be fair, too,
it doesn't have to do that.
The crawl generally doesn't focus around the characters. The crawl generally focuses on the state of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to think, because you said that and I'm like, yeah, well, what would have happened if they did Star Wars and we just had good character introductions? And then I'm thinking, okay, well, we did. So why did we need the crawl? Well, okay, the crawl kind of explained, you know, the galaxy is in a state of war and there's a rebellion, etc. But again, we kind of already know all that. And I don't think that they're really going to need a crawl to introduce the characters per se in Rogue One. So is it really needed? Plus, we've talked before about the fact that Rogue One is a departure from the style of storytelling of the saga. If we refer to the saga as the Skywalker saga. So we don't need to be beholden to the old style of the Flash Gordon serial throwbacks. I mean, that's really why we had that in the first place. George Lucas was trying to give that sort of a feel, the Flash Gordon side of things. Mm-hmm. If I recall correctly, he actually tried to get the license to do Flash Gordon in the first place and was unable to, which is one of the reasons he came up with Star Wars. He was obsessed with the serialized Flash Gordon storytelling. For that, you kind of needed the crawls way back when. And then Lucas did that kind of to invoke that style, that imagery of storytelling. We don't need that anymore. And yet we're going to probably continue to have it with the sagas because it is a nostalgic thing and it is what we always do with those films. But if we're breaking the mold here, what you said, Chris, I mean, this is the perfect time to get rid of the crawl. If we want to save the crawl for the saga, you know, capital S, then that's fine. But for the anthology films, if it's not needed, let's not use it just out of nostalgia. Lou, what do you think about this? You've been a little quiet. You grew up with me, a little bit ahead of me in the early Star Wars years. Know,
I see a lot of the points you guys have all said, and I kind of agree with all of it. You know, the only reason to keep it in front of a Star Wars movie to me is nostalgia. It's a nice, comfortable way to kind of get into a Star Wars movie. It feels right. It feels like we've always had, you know, it's that kind of thing. But you're absolutely right. Most movies don't do this. It's probably not the best way to introduce a movie. There are a lot of creative opening sequences to movies that do a great job. But at the same time, you do want to have that kind of, you know, familiarity with it, and you want to feel like it's the same thing we're used to, even though we're getting a different movie and a different kind of storytelling. I mean, I'm thinking back to other movies that kind of do the same thing, and James Bond comes to mind. They all have a very similar opening. It's not a crawl per se, but there's always a initial mission going on, and then it kind of rolls into what we have for the movie. And it has nothing to do with the movie itself, but it feels
strong
familiar. It's a way to get into the movie, and you know what's going. You kind of okay. Yeah, I'm watching James Bond.
Right.
And you could do a crawl without having to do the, you know, pan down to a planet or pan to something else. You could do a crawl that fades to black, and then you're in, you know, a night ops mission somewhere.
You could have it like
they could do this for the opening of Rogue One.
You could have it pull back, and then it turns out it was actually like you were looking out the view screen of a ship, and that's where the crawl was appearing, and that's where the Starfield was. And then you pull that back further, and you find out the ship you're on is actually the Slave One, and there's Boba Fett there, and he's the one. Never mind.
Or it's just Boba Fett on his iPad scrolling.
Oh, I've got a new movie idea.
But, you know, you could do this without having to do that crawl and make it feel different and feel good.
Right.
At the same time, though, you know, I don't really mind either way.
Well,
I think I would like to see a crawl. If there's not one, am I going to be totally upset? No.
So before we started recording, we had an interesting conversation. And fortunately, I thought this time to hit the record button, which I don't always do. So we're going to record this as bonus content for Patreon donors, patreon.com/randomchatter.
I can't believe you wanted to record how wrong you guys both were, but that's okay.
So we were having a friendly discussion / vitriol filled argument about what we predict Rogue One is going to do opening weekend. And, you should listen to the bonus content. The result of it is Chris and I both had pretty much identical feelings that it'll bring in from 160 to 190, 160 million to 190 million domestically, U.S., opening weekend. Lou, you felt it was going to be like 100 to 120, and one of your arguments was that it's not the Star Wars saga. You have heard people talk about, well, I don't know, I'll catch it when it comes out on video and things like that. Would the inclusion of the crawl perhaps help reinforce that connection to what we know about Star Wars? I mean, we mentioned earlier on the, or actually it might have been in that recording, the people who didn't like The Force Awakens and felt like it was too reflective of A New Hope, and in some cases reflective might be too gentle a term. But in the past, we've explained that that was probably intentional to help bring people back around to the fact that, okay, mm-hmm. this is a continuation of the Star Wars that you remember with, you know, Luke Skywalker, and you know, we're moving forward. You know, all due respect to the prequels, but this is a forward moving continuation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good to kind of have those connections in there because it kind of reminds people where you came from, so to speak, and it makes that right. connection. It puts you in that mode. So no, would this I'd help say, with Rogue I think One?
The crawl would be really just for the fans like us.
Okay.
I would be willing to bet that if you put a movie in front of a casual fan, somebody who's aware of Star Wars and just wants to see what this movie's all about,
mm-hmm.
and did one version with a crawl, one version without a crawl, I bet people wouldn't notice.
Okay.
You know the casual viewer of a Star Wars movie, of just a movie.
So do you think subconsciously then? That's a good point. I think you're probably right. They wouldn't notice. Aside from noticing, do you think subconsciously it would have any effect? Or even, I mean, arguably, yeah, it'll have some effect. But do you think subconsciously it would have a measurable effect? You say no?
No.
Okay. Chris?
To a casual person, I don't think it would have, like, they might notice that it's gone. Like, if you would show them both versions,
mm-hmm.
they might know, they would obviously probably notice that it was gone, most likely, but I don't think it would have an effect,
okay,
like, of any kind.
I think it might help.
The only time it would have an effect very is beginning. If you put something important in the text, like
yeah,
like maybe I don't know, like you can't have TFA without a crawl.
Yeah, that's a much harder argument to make that TFA could have worked as well without a crawl. You're right.
But I think maybe, see, this is why I would kind of hope they would have some kind of creative way of doing a crawl, but without doing it 100%, because this is the first Star Wars spinoff,
mm-hmm.
and granted, you don't see it too much. Actually, I haven't seen it as much as I thought I would have, at least, you know, in my overall, like, general view of entertainment. It might be out there more than I thought, but I haven't seen too many people say, hey, where is Rey and Finn and all of this? Like, I think they've, marketing-wise at least, I think they've done enough to kind of show that, hey, this is pre- TFA for sure, and it's around the time of the first movie.
I think there's still some people asking about that.
Sadly, oh, yeah.
There's still people out there, obviously. I just
the inclusion of Vader in the trailer, I think, helped a lot of people who maybe didn't quite get it.
Yeah.
So that helped.
And I kind of wish they had saved that for an on-screen reveal. That would.
I understand that, but I think it was probably more important.
Yeah,
to show that, to set the timeline expectations for the more casual mm-hmm. fans. I guess there's a part of me that thinks that in establishing the movie, like at the beginning of the movie, the crawl would help remind the casual viewer that, okay, this is Star Wars. But if you get to the Death Star itself quickly enough, or Star Destroyers or some sort of iconic Star Wars imagery quickly enough, then that would also serve the same reminder and it wouldn't be as needed. But my concern is that they might go back. They might start the movie with a lot of stuff with Jin's childhood, the whole flashback thing that we saw in the trailer.
I think they're going to do it that way.
And her father. Yeah. And so it's going to be one of those things where I don't want to see people go, you know, 15, 20 minutes into the film and then see stuff and say, oh, yeah, right. Yeah. This is Star Wars. Right. Forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the crawl, I think, might help mitigate that. But maybe it's not a big deal. Like, maybe I'm just getting worried about nothing.
I would like to bring up one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the opening scene of Spark of Rebellion is when they aired it on ABC?
Wasn't it Vader?
It was.
Okay. Whew. I'm like, please don't look like an idiot, Eric.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Vader.
So I think that was a very simple, I mean, granted, it's not, they shouldn't do that in Rogue One, but it's a simple but effective way of not having a crawl, but establishing, hey, this is the storyline of the series. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine you were just a casual viewer of, maybe like, you know, of Star Wars and maybe you've seen a few of the movies, but like, you're like, hey, this is a Star Wars Rebels show. You've never seen the description or trailer or anything. Mm-hmm. You watch the first episode and assuming that you get the one that has Vader in it. And you watch it, you're like, oh, okay, so this is around the time of A New Hope.
But Chris, you just said that they shouldn't do this with Rogue One, but you're kind of making all kinds of points as to why they should. I mean, I think maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to open. We often see, and again, I don't want to make, I'm hesitant to make this argument because the whole this is how we've always done it argument is a really bad argument to make. But all of the other Star Wars films, for the most part, they open with something that is either, mm-hmm. it's either the villains or it's something regarding the villains, like the assassination attempt on Padme or something like that. Like there's all, and a lot of films that aren't Star Wars do this too. There's an opening establishing shot with the bad guys. And then you move on to the actual hero. And, well, where is the hero in all of this? Oh, he's just a farmer boy on Tatooine. Or, oh, he's, you know, whatever.
I mean, there are so many different ways they can do an opening to a movie. I mean, and they all work really well in different contexts. I'm not saying any one of these would work better in a Rogue One scenario than something else. But, like, I mean, even down to, you know, how many movies do you see show something happening at the climax of the action, not showing you what the ultimate result is, and then it cuts to saying, you know, 72 hours earlier or something like that.
Yeah.
So you've got the, okay, we know we're here to get the plans. We're in the battle scene. We're getting out. And all of a sudden, okay, 3 days ago is what started the whole process.
Right.
That could happen. You've seen the stuff where there's been we talk about the flashback scenes of Jin as a child, which this may be the way the movie's going to start. We're going to see, you know, her and her father having some heartfelt moments and he gets taken away or you know, whatever the scenario is going to be, sets up her feelings for her father and how she now feels towards him when she finds out he is building this weapon or, you know, being forced to do something or whatever the case may be. You know, we're going to play off that for the rest of the episode now or the rest of the movie now. So there's a lot of ways to do this and give you the feeling of, you know, the director has to put you in the positions that you're going to feel what he wants you to feel so that the movie has the impact that it's supposed to have.
Right.
A crawl is an easy way to do that. Fairly easy way because you get it right out. I mean, you know, you guys said you couldn't have TFA without the crawl, and you're absolutely right. You look at what the crawl gave us. That set the entire framework of the movie.
Yeah.
At least where we're starting from. And it did a great job of it.
But, you know, as much as Chris just pointed out that you can't really do Vader or they shouldn't do Vader in Rogue One, I'm starting, like, as you're describing, Chris, how it worked for Rebels and how beneficial it was for Rebels, I'm kind of thinking that in fact may be a good way to open up Rogue One with some kind of a scene with Vader talking to the director that we're going to see. And then after that scene, that kind of exposition scene, then cutting away to Jin or her father, or whatever they're going to cut away to.
So I just think that's kind of cheap. I'm sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
I just think that's really cheap and a cliche way to do things. And I have confidence and faith in the writers and the director that they can come up with a better way to open Rogue One than just showing Darth Vader.
But I think there would be a point to it,
though.
Yeah.
I'd rather see Vader show up not right at the start and then just that's all.
I would almost rather see Vader show up at the start and that's all, and have it be, you know, Vader setting the stage for what this other Imperial is supposed to be doing, and then we watch this other Imperial going and doing it. I don't really want to see, like, for me, seeing one of my biggest concerns as a fan with this movie is seeing Vader interspersed throughout different scenes throughout the film, because I don't know. I feel like it'll be a distraction, and it probably won't actually end up being a distraction, but there's a part of me that's like, I don't want to see, oh, hey, Vader just walked on the scene again. I don't want that. If you're going to use him, and I'm glad that they're using him sparingly, according to what Kathleen Kennedy said, I would rather have him kind of like in Rebels at the beginning, have a discussion about what's going on, because he's, you know, if not the guy in charge, he's the right-hand man of the guy in charge, being the Emperor. And then that setting the stage, and then move forward from there, and then get him off the stage, because the play is not about him.
Yeah, I guess, though, I would rather see them establish the director and the true bad guys of the film first, like in the first few minutes. Like, if they decide to go this route,
yeah,
I'd rather see them establish that and then throw us in, like, throw us a Vader appearance.
Okay.
But after we have, like, emotionally attached ourselves to the villains and we're like, okay, these are the villains. Darth Vader's not the villain. These guys are. They're not just his lackeys.
I just can't believe you guys being so prejudicial against the Empire, but, you know.
Think about Return of the Jedi. Think about Return of the Jedi.
Justin Bulger when you need him?
True. But think about Return of the Jedi, where you have the opening of, all the stormtroopers, and then the Imperial officer and Darth Vader, and then the Emperor,
right,
just shows up. Like, imagine if that was the opening of, like, the only Star Wars movie. And you're like, wait a minute, why doesn't the Emperor just do all of this stuff? Why is he handing it to Vader and all of these other people?
Yeah, that's a fair argument. I mean, you could also argue that it's a little different because Vader's already been established. Yeah.
It helps that we already know that Darth Vader is a really, really, really intriguing and strong villain. But then we have this other guy show up that's supposedly better than him. And we're like, wait a minute. Darth Vader's already bad enough. Like, how does he have someone above him, you know?
Why didn't they just use Thrawn? They should have just got Thrawn in here. I'm telling you.
Thrawn is Snoke, Eric. What are you talking about?
No. Snoke is never going to be as good as Thrawn. All right, so to wrap up, real quick, yes or no? Do you want to see a crawl, yes or no? Chris?
Are we talking about a standard version of the crawl?
Yep.
No.
Okay. Lou?
Yes.
Ah. Okay. I'll say no. And then, so for myself and Chris, would you be disappointed if you do see a crawl?
No.
Okay. I would only be disappointed myself in the sense that it would be perhaps a missed opportunity to further separate the style of this film from the style of the other Star Wars movies. I think that Rogue One is important, because this is laying the foundation for non-Skywalker saga Star Wars films done in a non-Star Wars film way. I want to get darker Star Wars films. I want to get the heist film. I want to get the romantic comedy. I don't want to get the romantic comedy, but I want to get you know, other stuff in the Star Wars film. And this is the breaking of the mold. We are going to see the mold cracked and crumbled on the floor here. And I feel like seeing the crawl would disappoint me in that regard, but it wouldn't disappoint me in the concept of this film itself. But I agree with you, Chris. I'd rather not see it.
I have a feeling that they're not going to do a crawl, but if they would, then that means that they have to do it for the rest of the movies going forward. I don't think you can have it for Rogue One and, you know, pick and choose. I think that's a terrible move.
But I think it's going to end up being probably director's discretion moving forward, too, at least to some great extent. So,
see, that bugs me.
No, see, I think it would be Story Group decision or Disney decision to say, yes, you will do a crawl or no, you will not do a crawl.
It's not up to the Story Group to determine how the film is presented. It's up to the Story Group to help determine what content is there.
Story Group giving you the blessing to you make this movie, and we're going to have oversight.
But then it's a director's group. It's not a story group.
Yeah, but I would tend to think that it was not. If this movie does not have a crawl, I don't think it was the director saying we're not going to do a crawl. I think it was a conscious decision by Disney and Lucasfilm to say we're not going to do a crawl in any of the non.
That could be the case, but I don't think it would be the story group that would be making.
Well,
determination.
Yeah. I mean, story group, whoever made the decision, it's not the director.
Okay.
The director didn't say yes or no to a crawl.
Yeah. No, I mean, it might be so Alan Horn. You know, Disney CEO might come down and say, hey, I own this crap now. You're putting the crawl in. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows?
Yep. But, so I have one question before we kind of wrap all of this up.
Okay. Shoot.
If you guys could have one way, if like, let's say we were directing a Star Wars movie.
God help us all.
And you had to choose a intriguing way or a new way to introduce or have an opening of a film, what would it be? And I can go first if you want time to think.
Yes.
Okay. So my way is have like a James Bond style opening, which you're like thrust right into the mission or a mission. Something cool happens. And then you have like a really cool like opening. You can even have a theme song. I'll have a Star Wars theme song and have like, you know, the cool, you know, credits and all that stuff. And yeah.
Okay.
That's the way I want it. One of my favorite openings of any movie. Actually, I think Spectre had a really, really cool opening scene.
See, I remember Casino Royale. I don't remember Spectre.
Spectre had the thing with the, not to get a James Bond on a Star Wars podcast, but it had the thing with the parade and the skull mask.
Spectre's opening was fantastic.
Yeah, and it was like one shot
thing. I'm not saying I want it for Star Wars, but it was a fantastic opening.
Yeah,
like that and Skyfall have, at least in terms, Skyfall has one of my favorite like James Bond opening credits things. Spectre has one of my favorite opening scenes. But I wouldn't mind seeing something like that for Star Wars.
I would say that I would like to see either the... And it's a little hard because I'm going to answer already knowing a little bit about the film based on the marketing and what we've seen in the trailers already. But I guess I would be okay with them opening with the stuff in the past with Jin and her father and the director and all that. And then... you know, breaking away to her waking up in the prison cell or something like that. I think that it gives you that a little bit of exposition that's needed and then puts you right into the film. And I like things that just put you right into the film. One of the things we talked about before with John Wick, when we were talking on, I think both Random Chatter and Flick Fights, you don't get the backstory. You're just dropped into the midst of his story. And you know that there's a past. And you know the characters have pasts that he's interacting with, but you're there in the story. Boom. Mm. It's already moving. So I would be cool with that. The other thing I would be cool with, in the sense of what you were saying, Chris, would be if they're going to do like an opening action scene to kind of hook you in the hook, It's something I always look for in novels. It's one of the reasons I used to like Dean Koontz so much, is there's a hook, and then he pulls you in to the rest of the story, because some people have a hard time really connecting with the story at first. If they had some sort of an action scene with, you know, stormtroopers chasing a would-be hero through, you know, an urban area and, you know, down the back alleys and the streets and stuff like that, and there's a confrontation, but the stormtroopers end up winning, and it helps solidify how, you know, how thorough the oppression of the Empire is, then you've got the action scene that kind of gets your adrenaline going right off the bat, but then you've also got the stage setting of just how severe the Imperial oppression really is on this world. And I think that might also be a good way to open it. Lou, what about you?
I would like to see some action in the first, you know, few minutes of the movie to really set the tone for the movie, how dark it's going to be, how gritty it's going to be. But I would like to see the opening shot of the movie be something with the Death Star, you know, seen through the planet's atmosphere, or something like the ones, you know, we've seen images like this so far to begin with in both the trailer and the thing we saw at Celebration and some other stuff, that you've seen different views of the Death Star from a planet. And it just gives you chills, I think. And that would be a great way to set the tone for this movie.
I want to see the Death Star, and then you pull back and you're looking at it through a view screen, and then you pull back even further and you realize you're on the Slave One. And then what's with the sighing? I didn't even finish.
Keep going. Let's hear it.
No, that's all right.
I think the opening scene should be a test firing of the weapon. Sorry.
Man, you would just like space the entire crew. Oh, construction's done. Okay, hit the button, Frank. And then boom, all the airlocks open, all the construction contractors, and just right out into space. Railing. Pay them? No, we don't need to pay them now. All right. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of Echo Base. But we want to hear what you think. What do you think about this whole dilemma with the opening crawl? Or is it really a dilemma at all? What do you think about it? Send us your feedback, echobase@randomchatter.com.
And you can find us online. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork, that we keep relatively updated.
Thank you,
Derek.
Same
with our, yes. Same with our Twitter account, which is @EchoBasePodcast. We also have the show, I mean, not the show, the network Twitter account, @RandomChatter. My Twitter is @TheCurseOfChris. Lou, what is your Twitter? Or sorry, Eric, what is your Twitter?
Wow, Lou. Mine is Eric Blythe, ErikBlythe.
And Lou, what is
I
your
don't have
Twitter
a Twitter.
Now?
We're just going to move on to the next section here. Now. You find me on Twitter at LouSecki, LouSecki. You can also find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. This is almost too many to name nowadays. I mean, it's random.
We're getting there.
I know. It's just a whole host.
We're about to add
we
more.
We should say the letters.
Yeah.
It'll really confuse people.
I feel like the government.
Josh and Jay shows are back. Scarlet Velocity, Green Justice, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, the Cord Cast, one of our new shows, Ghost Stories, our new Rebel show, the Retro Convo, Sabacc Table, all kinds of stuff. I should just go check those out.
Yeah,
don't forget about all the cool written content that's coming out on our website, too.
That's true.
A lot of book reviews and movie reviews and all sorts of stuff.
And a blog where the staff members now can go and just talk about whatever.
Yeah. That should be interesting. Anyways, you can spread the word. You can spread the word about the network and the show various ways, although we would prefer if you would leave reviews for us on iTunes and Stitcher and whatever else podcast app thing that you use, and tell your friends about us as well.
And you can listen to us live. We are doing Echo Base on Monday nights at 9 p.m. Thursday nights, we're going to do Random Chatter and Outer Rim starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, of course. To find those shows, you can go to randomchatter.com/live, or you can search for Random Chatter on Ustream.
And we want to give a quick shout out to everybody who's been supporting us on Patreon. We really appreciate the support that you've been giving us. It's made more difference than you probably realize. We're really happy about the new perks that we've rolled out. They seem to be well received, so that's a good thing. And again, if you'd like to hang out with us in the Slack community, not just with us, the very staff members, but with the other donors, we've got some great people there who have just some brilliant conversations going on. So head over to patreon.com/randomchatter and check out how to, this is a way in which you get to be even more interactive and more immersive in the community. And that's it. That is all for this week of Echo Base. We are going to close the blast doors here and seal ourselves in, try to get some of the heat back.
So we didn't leave anybody out in the cold.
Not this week. Nope. The Tauntauns are very happy about that one, let me tell you. And
no Tauntauns were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Not this episode. Wait until next week. Next week, we're going to have, I don't know that it's going to be in time for this episode, but the day after this episode airs, we're going to have, is it Catalyst? Is going to be released? The Rogue One novel?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be on a trip to Orlando, so I might actually get to finish that while I'm gone. Instead of taking 3 months like I normally do.
It's not going to download off your own plane.
No, it's going to be 2 days after the plane. But, I can read it in the hotel room, and I've got the flight home, But something to look forward to. So anyway, that's it. We will see you next week. Until then, take care.
See you, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
The Force will be with you always.